ourselves before we come to the table. And Father, if we are not right with one another, then Father God, help us to bring reconciliation. Regardless of whose fault it is, Father, just enable us to move and be able to bring peace, bring love, bring forgiveness to each other. So, Father, bless us as we spend this time around your table. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Here's the table of the Lord, and we're gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things to come, of things eternal. So come, whether you are fearful, whether you are struggling and frightened, so that you may be made new in love. Come if you're struggling with doubt, to be made strong in faith. Come when the past is holding you back. The actions that you may have taken, you are still living with. Come to the table when you can't see a way forward and be made whole. Come from wherever you are, Alsey, Stopfold, Letchworth, north, south, east and west. Come whether you're old, middle-aged or young. Come in your gladness and joy, in your sadness and grief. At this table, there is room for all.
Amen.
We come to this table because we belong to Jesus. We are his family, brothers and sisters, saved through his sacrificial death on the cross. The grace and the mercy that we received to share with others, and as Jesus gave his life out for us, so we give our lives to him, to use for his name and his glory. Here are the familiar words from 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul sets out the order for the table. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He took the cup and said, "This cup is something new. It's the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's just spend a moment in quiet reflecting on those words. Let's focus on the one who this table reminds us of. And if there is issues in relationships, then as we take the elements, maybe this is your opportunity to put things right with another. Father God, we thank you for this bread, this juice. We thank you for the symbolism and the reminder that this is a reminder of your son's body and blood. The body nailed to the cross and the blood that poured from his body. The perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice for sin that we all needed in order to be restored in relationship with you. Father, as we come, may we know your presence as we eat the elements, drink the cup. May we know you in a new and powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Is there gluten-free bread? That is gluten-free. Fine, thank you. So we'll eat the bread as it's passed to us, one to another. If you do require gluten-free bread, then do make the steward aware of that so that they can come and collect it. And when we come to receive the cup, let's hold on to it, not drink it straight away, because we'll drink together as we share our unity and oneness in Jesus. So if those serving would like to come forward, volunteers please. One more. There we go, Claire, thank you. Adrian. Margaret. So this reminds us of the blood of Jesus poured out on the cross. Let us drink with grateful and thankful hearts. Lord Jesus, through your death and resurrection, you brought the world back to God. Through your example, you've shown us a way to live, to have that peace that's beyond understanding in our hearts and lives. Father God, give us strength as your people to share you and your peace and your love and your grace and mercy to those that we meet, that we live it out in our lives, that people will know when we leave this place who we belong to. Amen. That, Father, they would see your light shining on our faces and in and through our lives. Yes. That, Father, wherever we go, we would be your peacemakers until that time when we experience eternal and everlasting peace, when we will join you in heaven. Father God, there are those known to us who are going through struggles, difficulties, of whatever reason. So in a moment of quiet, let's bring those that we love, that we know, into your presence as we ask for your help, as we ask you to intervene, as we intercede for them.
Sin,
who knew no sin,
that we may become
his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross.
Love so
amazing,
love so.
Messiah,
name above all names,
blessed Redeemer,
Emmanuel, rescue for sinners,
the
ransom from hell.
Light of the world. blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sin.
It's always a pleasure to have Jane and Christopher in our presence, and apologies for not welcoming you at the beginning. Things were a little bit fragile at the beginning, shall we say. But let's pray for you now. Father God, we thank you for Christopher. We thank you that he has walked faithfully with you for many years. We thank you for the work that he's done through CIS and into the schools over the years, Lord, and as he prepares for this next season, as he prepares to stand down from the position he's been in for many years, Lord, we pray that you will bless him mightily, Lord. And Lord, as he's prepared for this morning, we pray that as he speaks, you'll give him the confidence, you'll give him the wisdom and the discernment, and you'll give us the ears to hear and the heart and mind to learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ian. Let's have a look. Nope. Doug, do you want to move it on, please? Yay! Let's just see if it will move on. It will move on. Brilliant. Just a couple of things. Thank you for your continued support and prayer for the work of CIS. I notice there's a young lady I know reasonably well over in the corner. She's not going to like I've mentioned her, but there we go. Just a couple of things. Friday 28th of September, we've got our concert at Central Methodist Church. It's free, but if you would like to give a donation, it's fine. Local groups will be coming, individuals will be playing song, music. It's a varied program, but it is good fun. So if you're able to, then please do come. And then my last ever annual celebration for CIS as their schools worker, as Ian hinted, I lay down the mantle of schools worker at the end of December. Come and find out what is going to happen next, because just like you, we are going to be entering a new season, and it will be amazing to see what God does with you here, but also with us as a schools ministry. So let's get on with service, the sermon. Around a table. Around a table. I think we will all agree that actually having meals together enables us to connect better with one another. Food is a great leveller, as long as it's food you like. But it's a great opportunity to share all kinds of things, whether it's with family and friends, you know, your aspirations of what you would like to happen, your future dreams. Maybe sometimes the difficulties that you've had. We talk and we remember those who have passed on to glory. We talk about the places that we've visited and the places we'd like to go to as well. And we often talk about the if only I'd done that. If only I hadn't said no. If only I'd said yes. And I imagine that gathering around a table was exactly the same at the time of Jesus. In fact, as you go through the New Testament, the gospel writers, those people who saw firsthand Jesus in the flesh, Jesus speaking, Jesus healing, Jesus walking alongside others. You see that meeting around a table was important. Meals that he had with his disciples and other followers. Times around the table when extraordinary things happened. Being anointed with oil by someone who was considered a sinful woman. Of answering questions, of being put on the spot. But yet, if you look at the people Jesus spent time with around the table, sometimes they weren't exactly the people that were acceptable at the time. And Jesus was criticized for this. Jesus was criticized for spending times with those who didn't follow the rules to the letter. Just like those wonderful Pharisees, Sadducees, etc. Those people who followed the law and added to it to make it even more difficult for people to keep it. Who lived lives of performance. Performance to show, look how good I am. I'm perfect. I never do anything wrong. We all do things wrong. But it wasn't to those people that Jesus spent time with. It was those who were said to be unclean, sinners, prostitutes, and tax collectors, traitors to the Jewish nation, who'd put themselves alongside the Romans, collecting money from the people. But yet what Jesus heard from what other people said, it didn't bother him, because he hadn't come for the good and perfect. He'd come to those who needed salvation and freedom. If you're well, you don't go to the doctors. If you're sick, you do. You might get nagged to go, but you do. Jesus took people at face value. The fact is that he knew before he met them. And it didn't matter about background. It didn't matter about nationality. He met them where they were, treated them with love, respect, grace and mercy and compassion. And to those who were deemed the lowest of the outcasts and socially unacceptable, Jesus treated them in a way that did not exclude them but include them. It is not our job to exclude as his people today. It is our job to include, no matter what we feel about them, no matter if they've hurt us, no matter that we don't think they're the right kind of people to be in church. Jesus says, come. Come. And in the passage that I'm going to read to us in a few moments, we're going to see one who was an outcast, who was considered a traitor. One who Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. You are invited. It may be your house, but you're still invited. I'm going to be there, and you're invited. So if you have a Bible with you, then please would you turn to Luke 19 with me. You see, the man we're looking at was despised by the people, deemed a traitor because of the job he did, a tax collector. A guy who was wealthy, who was probably greedy, who needed a bodyguard to protect him. A man who took money from others to pay for the upkeep of those who were now in control of the nation of Israel. Yet to this one, Jesus spent time around a table. So Luke writes, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, He couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "Oh, he's gone to the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the final time. His intention, it seems, is to pass through Jericho, not to stop. That's the implication. But prior to this, Jesus had spent time along the border between Galilee and Samaria, teaching those who were following and healing others. He also had an encounter with an individual who was incredibly rich, maybe like Zacchaeus, who came and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Follow the laws. Love your mother and father. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet." But interestingly, Jesus didn't highlight the one that he should have been following. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. God first in your life. And when Jesus challenged him and said, "Sell up, follow me," and the man went away sad. And this is what Jesus said: "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." That's interesting, because Jesus has had an encounter with a rich man. He's now going to encounter another. So Jesus is going through Jericho. I don't know whether it had any intention of stopping, but word got out that Jesus was coming. Word got out, so the crowds began to stand on the roadside. I don't know whether you've ever heard that someone famous is coming and you've wanted to go and see them. A few years ago, when Jane and I lived in Leicester, we heard of someone coming. And we both had a day off, which was interesting at the time. So we decided, let's go and see. Now, Jane thought I'd rather go up to the park to see the helicopter, which is understandable, being a keen aircraft fan. I said, no, let's go and see. And there were crowds of people along the road. So we managed to find a space at the front. And the car drove up, and the famous person got out. And they began to walk on the opposite side. And we could see them. It's great. Then they crossed over. And all the time they were shaking hands and saying hello. And then they got to us. And Jane and I got to shake hands of Diana, Princess of Wales. Only because we heard that she was coming to town. She was coming to town. Jesus is coming to town. And the same impact upon the people in Jericho. They want to see who this Jesus is, the one they've heard so much about, the one who people saying, "He's the Messiah, he's the Son of God. He's come to set people free." Not in the way they expected, but he has come to set people free. The one who speaks in a more powerful way than our religious leaders. One who speaks with authority. Who knows God personally. And here in Jericho is where this man, Zacchaeus, lives. A chief tax collector and wealthy. I've said traitor. I've said greedy. But he would also have been hated. Because to be a tax collector was to be a collaborator. Oh, I managed to say it. Worked for the Romans. The occupying force. Those who were in charge, not the people of Israel. And of course, we know that people love paying taxes. No, people resented. Particularly paying taxes to foreigners. Those who were Gentiles. Those who were unclean. Those who had forced their way in and now ruled over them. And actually, tax collectors weren't paid a wage. They just did their job. Managed to skim some away. Added a little bit extra onto the tax so that they could fill their pockets. And Zacchaeus must have been incredibly good at it. Because he was wealthy. He was rich. You see, as long as Rome got what they needed, he could do what he liked. One for them, three for me. Two for them, ten for me. He filled his pockets. He made his wealth off the people of his nation. And he was hated. But there was something significant about Zacchaeus. And that's this. He was short. He was small. So he'd heard that Jesus was coming. And of course, there is a song that I sang when I was in Sunday school. Now, Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. For the Saviour he wanted to see. We'll stop there. Later, come on, I don't want to give the story away. So Zacchaeus is desperate to see Jesus. He's heard the same things as the rest of the people in Jericho. He just wants to see him. That's all he wants. He wants to see him. His expectation is not that he will shake his hand or say hello. He wants to see Jesus. But he can't because there's people in the way. Because he's not tall enough. The other thing to probably note is that there is no bodyguard around him this time. This is something he chose to do without protection. And the people became an obstacle to see him seeing Jesus. Now we know what it's like when you are desperate to see something, when you want to see something special, and there are obstacles in the way. Particularly tall people like me. Why don't you go to the back? No, I'm staying here. I want to get a good photo. And as many of you know, I spend quite a bit of time at Shuttleworth for the air shows each year. And it has now got to the point that to get the ideal spot on the crowd line, you've got to get there at unearthly o'clock. Jane will verify this. The gates open at 9. Me and my friend Dave, well, we're there probably 6:30. Just so that we can try and not get this happening. It is so frustrating when that happens. Because you haven't got a clear view. This is what you're after. What is it, Michael? It is a hurricane. So Zacchaeus, he hadn't had the opportunity of getting into the front of the crowd line. It looks like he got the news late. So here we have a situation where he cannot solve it because people won't let him get anywhere near the front because of what they think about him. And we'll see that a bit later on. 2012, Jane and I and Becca, our daughter, went to Hampton Court to see the cycling time trial. We got there early. We got a good spot, didn't we? Unlike this film cameraman. He didn't stay there long. You see, if he'd have got there early, he'd have got this shot. He says, hopefully. Bradley Wiggins going on to win gold. But anyway, what you have just seen is what Zacchaeus does next. He ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree. Interesting that it's not just a tree, it's a sycamore tree. Specific, that's what Luke does, gives specifics. Since Jesus was coming that way. So, Zacchaeus is so desperate to see Jesus, he climbs a tree. How undignified. I have never, to be honest, climbed a tree, because I've got a bit of a fear of heights. But he wanted to see Jesus so much because of what he'd heard one of people had said, that he climbed a tree. He's not bothered about being undignified. He's not bothered about what people think about him. He's not bothered about the jibes and cries of others, of what they think about him too. And Zacchaeus is so determined to see Jesus and will do all that he can to make that happen. So he ends up in a tree. How high the tree was, how tall the tree was, we don't know. But he was above the crowd. In some respects, looking down, watching from a distance, being curious, and very much the outsider. Whether the crowd had seen him go up the tree, I don't know. But can you imagine if they had? What are you doing up there, greedy little man? Jesus doesn't want to see you. You're a traitor. You're a collaborator. You cheat. But Zacchaeus ended up in the tree. But then the unexpected happens. And that's the second verse, Kerry. As the Saviour passed that way, he looked into the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, can you come down? Because I'm coming to your house for tea. I'm coming to your house for tea. Nor did I. So, exactly, which is why worship songs are so good in remembering scripture. There you go. So, Jesus comes along and he knows where Zacchaeus is. He knows his name. And he says, come down. And I imagine Zacchaeus probably was taken aback a bit and thought, what? Me? Yes, you. Well, come down. Yes, come down. And you're coming to my house? Yes, come to your house. And Zacchaeus comes down. You see, Jesus would have been aware of the kind of man Zacchaeus was, of the nature of his heart. He would know the opinion of others towards him. And he invites himself round to Zacchaeus' house. It's just brilliant. And this is what he does. He comes down at once. He doesn't wait. I imagine he probably got a few scratches as he made his way down the tree. And welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly. That's significant. When someone who may not live the lifestyle of a follower of Jesus, who may have turned their back on Jesus, who may never have heard about Jesus, do we, as God's people, as the body of Christ, when they come through the door, Do we welcome them gladly? This is totally unexpected for Zacchaeus. Totally unexpected. But he is truly welcome in the home. Now we get the people's response. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "Who's gone to the house of a sinner? How can Jesus go to the house of a sinner? How can he go to someone who treats us badly, who rips us off, who collaborates with the Romans? How on earth can Jesus do this?" Similar to the comments of the religious leaders, saying, "Why does Jesus spend all his time with prostitutes, tax collectors and sinners?" Because they need him. They need salvation. Jesus does the unexpected. And I think we know that in our lives. Jesus does the unexpected. He spends time with those society says are outcasts, no good. We don't need them. The unclean, the unacceptable, the unwanted, the tax collector, prostitute and sinner. You see, if Jesus spent time with them, he would make himself unclean too. But Jesus wasn't unclean. He was the perfect person. The sinless Saviour who brought our freedom on the cross. You see, Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to come down and come to his house when Zacchaeus was ready. Zacchaeus, at that point, hadn't received salvation. What was his heart like? Was he motivated by money? Was he motivated by his position and status? Was his an attitude of get, grab, me? The thing is, Zacchaeus wasn't saved at that point. But he needed saving. And as Zacchaeus spends time in his own home with Jesus, so things change. Because the thing is that being with Jesus doesn't mean you stay the same. You are changed. But often that means you have to do something as well. And in Zacchaeus' case, he stood up and said to the Lord. He didn't stay at the table. He got up. He could have walked away and said, "Yeah, thank you for coming, Jesus, but I don't want to know." This is what he said. "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." You see, in that time that Zacchaeus spent with Jesus, he found out that his life wasn't the way it should be. It wasn't a God-centered life. And he decides, as a consequence of meeting with Jesus, that radical changes need to be made. His old ways of thinking, his old ways of living. And there is a stark difference between the rich young ruler who Jesus met and Zacchaeus. The young man went away sad because of the cost involved in becoming a follower of Jesus. Yet Zacchaeus, look what he does. "Half of my possessions. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, which is probably everybody in the town, I'll give back four times as much." It's amazing. That's the change Jesus can bring to anybody's life. Amen. That's the change I want to see in young lives, in old lives, in middle-aged lives, in children's lives. And that's why I've been serving Jesus in the way I have for the last X number of years. Do I know how many have come to faith through it? No. Am I bothered by that? No. I have just been a servant a sower, and God will bring to fruition from all that has been sown in his time and in his place. For Jesus saying this to Zacchaeus is amazing. Think about this. Jesus hasn't yet died on the cross, but yet today salvation has come to this house, to this man who is a son of Abraham. He is a true Jew. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus' life was changed. At that moment, Zacchaeus moved from outsider to insider. Remember, he was stuck up a tree, away from everybody. Yet now he becomes an insider. He accepts what Jesus offers. He accepts that he needs to change. And he receives salvation. And for me, a perfect example of how a Father responds, how Father God responds to us when we come back to him, in all our mess and dirtiness, in all our sin, is that story, that parable that Jesus told about the son who went off, turned his back on his family, went to a foreign land, really, really rich. And when the money ran out, this good Jewish boy ends up working for a pig farmer. So hungry he wants to eat the pig food. Covered in muck, smelling to high heaven. Yet his father watches every day. And he sees him coming. And he doesn't worry about the smell or the dirt. He brings him in. And that's what God does for us. Zacchaeus moved from observer to participator. He'd watched Jesus come by. And when salvation came to him, he gave of what he had away. You see, Zacchaeus could have said no. Still choice. That Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus into his home and into his life. He also went to opposer to contributor. He put things right with those he cheated. That's why, in some respects, I emphasized that this morning as we came around this table of being right with one another, that the need to keep short accounts, not just with God, but with one another. You see, what was required by the law was not what Zacchaeus did. The religious law stated you only needed to pay back 1/5 of that which you cheated someone. He paid back 4 times. He wanted to rectify what he'd done wrong. And so, Zacchaeus' life was changed as he came around a table with Jesus. What about us? You see, Jesus wants to do so much more with us. And I pray that as you have your meeting afterwards, that there is a consensus of the move forward. That you listen to what God is saying. And that as a consequence, you move as a people of God forward into all that God has got in store for you. That the old is gone, the new is coming. I don't want to be a person in a church community, who sees someone up a tree and leaves them there. Who sees someone outside who needs to know Jesus and ignores them. You see, it's about inclusion, not exclusion. Jesus didn't exclude anyone. He didn't exclude the thief on the cross. The first one to enter heaven as a saved person. Jesus invites all to come around the table. He wants us all to be involved in that. To maybe have to make sacrifices, put out an extra chair. Maybe not be the first one to go to the table and get our share. Maybe we don't get our share at all. Just because we sit with someone who's new, it does not mean we endorse their life or their choices. You see, Jesus doesn't endorse Zacchaeus' behavior. And Jesus didn't judge, and nor should we. We're called to welcome, we're called to love. You see, our job isn't to change people, that's what Jesus does. Our job is not to change people, that's what Jesus does. And we see that with Zacchaeus. He left the table a changed man after encountering Jesus. Over many, many years, I've been invited to services of ordination, induction, commissioning. And it's always interesting when a new leader, vicar, minister, pastor comes into town. Because after that initial service, that first service that person takes, well, actually, there'll be a lot of people coming. There'll be a lot of people who will want to see this new person who's come to be minister, wants to see how they preach, how they lead. They'll be making assumptions about this person. And the people who come may not be who we might think are acceptable. People who may have walked away from the church, who have said, it's not for me, but they want to find out. If you like, they're climbing the tree to find out. And it's our job not to ignore, it's to include. It's been a fascinating year with CIS. I've had to deal with things that I didn't expect to. I've seen great responses to assemblies. But when it comes down to it, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. It's not about you, it's about Jesus. This table, around this table, is where compassion, truth, love, grace, and mercy meet. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hear that, please. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While Zacchaeus was still a sinner, Jesus came round for tea. And Jesus is still inviting people to come around the table. Inviting us to sit at his table, not when we're ready, not when we're healed, not when we feel we're good enough, not when we have the right words. He invites us just as we are, today and now. And just as Jesus invites us around his table, he asks us to be like him, to seek and to save the lost, to love as he loves, to invite others to the table without judgment and assumption, and to sit together, to welcome others in just as Jesus welcomed us, to welcome in the observer, the ones who are curious, the ones who may be critical. But let's not force people to climb up a tree. Let's invite them to come and sit at the table and come and see Jesus. Because he'll always welcome us and there will always be a seat for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful story of Zacchaeus. We thank you that for someone who was treated as an outsider by the people, was treated as an insider by you. Someone who went from possible opposition to becoming a participator, but also one who began to see the error of his ways, of having his life change, and to put things right with the people that it hurt. Father, enable us as new people come in to welcome them, not to exclude them, but to include them. May we know as we do that, we are doing what you want us to do, to be your people, to be your light, love and peace in the community that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward now as we sing our final song. And I think it's so appropriate. It's not a song I chose. Mark and Lorna chose the perfect song to end with. Thank you. Because it's one that speaks of where we put our heart's desires in. Just as Zacchaeus put his desire probably in wealth,